Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Kate Brown, and Kate is the owner of Cultured Life Food, and Kate makes lots of different things. She makes ghee and quinoa flour and gamasio, and today we're just going to talk about the quinoa flour and gamasio. So where do you source your quinoa flour?
The quinoa flour comes from Wild Rose Farms.
Okay, so from Blake Richard.
That's right, which is right here in our area. That's part of the reasoning for all this whole product line. I'm really interested in sourcing what I think of are locally sourced superfoods, and quinoa definitely falls under that. And it's pretty unique, I think, what Blake does, that he has been very innovative with quinoa in this area. I think it's pretty extraordinary.
He's been growing quite a bit of it. We think of it as a grain, but it really isn't a true grain, like a grain that's a grass plant like wheat or rye or something like that.
That's right, which is one of the other reasons I think that's making it really popular these days with the gluten-free people, and also that it has a high protein value. And so I think that those are a couple of things that make it really popular. But I've realized now since doing this little bit of milling, and I'm just really getting into this because I'm pretty limited now with my milling capabilities. However, the baking part of quinoa is really quite something, because a lot of time with gluten-free grains, for me anyway, I don't have the same baking capabilities as I do with some grains that have wheat because of the gluten.
That's
what makes it really puffy and, you know, just nice.
It makes it hold together.
This holds together okay, but it also, the quality I like about it is when you get the right flavor profiles, so like chocolate is a good flavor profile for quinoa, so brownies are great. When you get other things like pancakes, probably would be really good. Gingerbread or banana bread, things like that, that really accent the flavor, because quinoa does have a strong flavor, but the flour is real light and real fluffy. It's not dense. So in that way, it's delicious.
So when you go to mill your flour, usually with quinoa, you have to rinse the grain first to get the saponins off of it, the saponins off of it. And so do you rinse it and then dry it and then grind it? How do you do that?
I was doing that. But lucky, Blake, again, I mean, just another genius thing that he's done. He's now able to have the quinoa cleaned. So just this past year, I've been able to pick up quinoa directly from them.
Oh, that's already been washed and then dried and ready to go.
Yeah,
that's
the saponins removed. So, you know, that's something that has changed for him recently. It doesn't necessarily look as shiny as some of the quinoa in the past, and I think that was maybe because of the way it was polished. This isn't polished in the same way, but this is cleaned in the sense that it's rinsed, I think, a number of times, because when I've taken it home and put it in the colander to rinse it again, it comes clean. The water does, rather than before, you know.
It would get all like, sudsy, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's not that at all now. So that's the sign that the saponins have been removed. So yeah, now you can just put it directly into the meal, which makes it 1,000 times easier.
Okay.
Seems like cheating.
So when you go to make a batch, how much are you milling at once and where are you selling it?
At this point, I'm just milling about 10 pounds, 15 pounds at the time. And right now at Eureka Natural Foods.
Is it something that you want to buy pretty fresh, or you want to make sure that you keep it
Again,
cool?
I think it is, but it's in an airtight container. Mm. And so I've had that where before I even offered this for months. At home, I kept it because I was testing for moisture. So all that to say it'll last for months and months and months. But again, I think the freshness is
whenever you get
desirable.
Something fresher, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then what sorts of things have you tried with it? What sorts of recipes?
Well,
or who do you think buys it, too?
Yeah, the brownies have been a big hit. Uh-huh. And I've tried those for a number of different events, food tastings and things. So that's gone really well. And people, yeah, I think that buy it are people that do have gluten-free allergies or people that are just wanting to experiment with, you know, some protein-rich grain flour. Because, I mean, truth of the matter is there's just so many different grain opportunities, you know, that are available. So sometimes I think it's the opportunity to just be creative with cooking and just to have that.
That's what I think about it. I think about because I do make a wheat bread, but I would like to try to add some quinoa flour to the bread to see how different it comes out to boost the protein level of the
bread. And that would be another
way
to add it to other things. I haven't even explored that possibility, but there you go.
Okay. So you're making up the quinoa flour and you're selling it in those stores. So let's talk a little bit, too, about the gamasio, because that was something I hadn't heard of for. And then it seemed like there was this burst of talk about this product that seemed new to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned about it from Green Gulch. Green Gulch is a Zen center that's north of San Francisco on Stinson Beach. It's an 80-acre farm. I had a period where I got to spend time there, and it was used there as a condiment. So I think about it as a better-than-salt product because it does have salt in it. And one thing that allowed me, because our area doesn't grow sesame seed, but there's a guy here, Brian, and he has Pacific Flake salt that he hand harvest salt from Humboldt Bay, which I think is pretty cool. And if you have an opportunity, go there to his facility in Samoa. It's really something to see.
It's really a beautiful thing. He just runs this little rake through this tub. It's like magic. It is. It is a beautiful thing to watch.
Happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that inspired or allowed, you know, gamasio to happen, because that was something that could be locally sourced here. But basically, it's toasted sesame seed mixed with Brian's Pacific Flake salt. And you can use it, it's meant to be used as a finishing product. So like on rice, I use it even on oatmeal. It can be used sprinkled on top of any kind of vegetable like broccoli or greens. It's, you know, great on chard and
Is there a ratio of sesame to salt?
There is a ratio of sesame to salt, and there's tons of different ratios of sesame to salt when you look it up. So there's not really a right, you know, ratio. It more just gets to be to your flavor or taste. But what I find is that the sesame seed, once toasted, they kind of take up a little bit of the flavor of the salt, if that makes sense. Like, they seem salty to me.
Well, we've run out of time again. So much to talk
about.
Thank
you, Jennifer.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Kate Brown from Cultured Life Food. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.